Okay, let's start off. Please take your seats now. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to warmly welcome you to the press conference of Aujourd'hui, a competition film. I'd like to present our guest, starting at the very left, the producer of the film, Eric Dries Canago. Welcome to Berlin. Second producer, Gilles Sandoz, welcome to you as well. And then the lady playing the gallerist in the film, Ainicia Amaiga. Jolof Mbengue played Zele in the film. Welcome. Saul Williams. Welcome. Sache. And Anisia Ozerman plays Rama in the film. Welcome to Berlin. And to my left immediately, Alain Gomis, the director of the film. Thank you for this film. You can ask your questions now. There's a question here. Alexander Rutkowski. No, it is a fiction, a fictional story, of course. It's a kind of fairy tale, if you will, that tries to tell a story that would be not too far removed from reality. So it is inspired, or it takes its cue from certain practices, rituals at the beginning, shown at the beginning of the film. They exist, but I think, you know, generally speaking, people are not privy to their death or to the moment of their death before, and that, of course, is fictional. We worked with the script, but we also worked with the actors, and, you know, who are also lay actors in that sense, but, you know, it was important for them to really get into the situation. Thank you. Next question. La Gazette from Berlin. A question for the film director. It is the chronicle of an announced death, if you will, and we get a vision of what happens in Senegal, movements in the street, manifestations, demonstrations, you know, in the run-up to the upcoming elections. And do you think that it is also a comment on democracy in Senegal? Yes, all of the images in the film were shot roughly a year ago in a situation where there was a lot of tension, and a tension that has been existing for a while that is not just linked to the elections themselves. I mean, situations that you could also witness here in Europe, where we have a minority class that has really amassed great riches, and a majority that are really left destitute and in poverty. And of course, when elections come, then, or at the moment of elections, it is a kind of a focus, and it all flares up. But it is also a reflection on everyday life of people. It could happen in Germany, in France, everywhere. And these kinds of movements exist. And the difficulty then is to link them up to political movement. These are popular movements that struggle in finding their political expression. But those are situations that you certainly are familiar with. I think a very strong scene in the film was a Chinese with a black child in his arms. Is that you know, is that alluding to the invasion of China in Africa, the new colonizers, if you will? I mean, they are well established in several countries such as Angola and the eastern part of Africa. Indeed, the Chinese presence in Africa, but also in Europe, is gaining momentum, and we had a lot of difficulties in finding actually an actor who would play out this role, it was very difficult. But finally, we chose a Korean. Please use the microphone. It is kind of a facetious image of what could be the future, but it is a difficult image. What I find really amusing in this image itself is that it takes up various perspectives, really, and aspects. You know, it is not just, you know, the colonizer. He's also just a human. And I was also interested by a situation where the woman would be Senegalese and the husband not. I think those are situations, you have to deal with them. Next question. Missou Boumedienne, Le Matin d'Algérie, a question for the actors and the actresses. We have two of them here. How did you work in order to carve out these characters? And I mean, as actresses, you have already had experiences at theater or in theater or making films. I'd like to know a bit, you know, what your previous path in the run-up to this film has been. Well, you can start, yes. How did we work our characters? Well, that was the question, yes. Simply put, very straightforward. In conditions that were quite ideal, because it was in Dakar and within the city with a wonderful team. It was a kind of magic that emanated from the situation, and it evolved effortlessly, really. I went around and had a look at, you know, what the daily lives of women were in the city and took it from there. I think the team was really great. A wonderful team, and that really impressed me. It was a very generous way of working. My background is actually in theater. I primarily work in theaters. I have already worked with Alain in his previous film, so this is the second time that we team up. Okay, it's my turn. Well, how did I work with Alain? It was quite straightforward as well. He indicated the action, and I tried to act it out as naturally as possible. And that's it, really, you know. Put in a nutshell. Aisha, your turn. What can I add to that? I mean, that is so concise. I really only joined the film for one scene. A scene where the common or shared past between Sache and Ayla had to be sort of resuscitated in a way, evoked. So I had to really think about and what Alain had to say about these two characters who had somehow joined or in their adolescence or had shared some time during their adolescence and now re-encounter each other at the threshold to death. So I have to really state, though, at this point that I haven't seen the film yet. I read the script, I played out this character in the film, but I haven't seen the entire film, really. The interesting point was the leading character who is facing imminent death, really. And it throws up the question of each and everyone's demise. And I think that my character is also struggling with this issue, with a fear of having to deal with one's own death. And I think that that is really what carries her. But all of the work was really done through dialogue, debates, listening, and being willing to go along. I've spoken a lot, no? Okay. Right here, front row. It's very difficult to explain because I wasn't quite organized, really. I went about it in a very sort of improvised way. There was an idea of a character, And the idea to tell the tale of death, but also a tale of life. To my mind, this is really a film about life, as much as it is about death. It's a way of celebrating life as well. And then to also try to take up the time dimension of it, you know, the idea of being afraid of death and watching time pass by. And you know, this was also the idea of this film. We are all in this plane, in a way, in this journey together. So it was all about confronting something like fear. It is a film against fear. That is the essential adventure, even in the writing of the script. It is a film against fear. And it is increasingly difficult to make films like this one. It is really a daily struggle, but it is also an immense source of joy because you work with a great liberty here at every stage. And I'd like to really, at this point, thank all the actors for the contribution there. Something happened. I can't really put it in any other terms. The energies somehow converged, came together, and that is how this film emerged. I had a script that was written. I worked with Mark, who is also sitting here in this hall. Yeah, it was difficult. If it had been possible, I would have improvised the entire film. And you know, but we had to work on the script also to try to find the money. Therefore, we needed a script. We needed to be able to fund the film, and therefore we had a structure. But we had to reinterpret at every stage, together with the actors. What I retain from this film, basically, is that we tried to be as free as possible in making this film, and at the same time, live up to the highest standards that we set up for ourselves. I am a profound believer in cinema and the possibilities of cinema, and everything can happen in cinema. That's it. So we had dialogues that were then scrapped. There are many dialogues that were in the film that were not in the script. And then during editing, we had to cut some of the dialogues and sort of do away with them. I think it was an idea of trying to find our civilization in this film, setting the stage for the civilization. And lots of things simply are not conveyed by words. In that respect, it is interesting for us, you know, to have for 1 hour and a half the possibility to be together, you know, in the midst of this great heaving city. But we are facing death, and but it can also be a source of joy because it is a moment of celebration. It's full of contradictions in that sense. It was a struggle to make it to Berlin. We're really proud to have made it here. But it was a struggle, but it was a struggle full of joy. I just tried to find out how my wife would react, you know. The character had really been outside of Senegal, abroad. He had had a whole story before actually coming back and confronting this reality. He is celebrated, criticized too, but throughout the day, he goes on a journey in order to try to come to terms with this idea. And he could have also waited before being received until being received as a hero. But you know, when at war, act like a warrior. And this is, you know, the day that the war takes place, and I think that you have to act as a warrior. And the very first combat is really with your wife. Even if our dreams are big and our political aspirations are big, all of that doesn't exist in this very intimate circle. And if it doesn't exist there, it really doesn't exist anywhere. It's not just about saying, well, you're the hero, and well, I'm staying behind with the children, taking care of them. and I'll have the opportunity to put down flowers on your grave. And I can simply settle with that. No, she also has to go on a travel. She also has to deal with her emotions. And it is also, in a certain way, it is another film that commences with her for me. I just wanted to say how I met Saul. Because that is really the story of the film. I wrote the film, I wrote the script, and I had a picture of Saul Williams. I didn't know him. I mean, I knew him as a singer, I liked his music, but I wrote the script with his photo because I felt that it helped me move along, because I felt that he had some of the aura that I wanted to put into the character. And I started looking for funds, and you know, I just told them, yeah, Saul Williams already said yes. And then we started getting some funds, some money, and I, you know, thought about how I could, you know, contact him. And I have a friend who really has set up dossiers for me with the photo of Saul. And this friend of mine suddenly bumps into Saul Williams in the street, and he says, wow, isn't this incredible? I've just made an application, handed in an application with your photos. And, you know, it's a friend who wants to make a movie with you. And, you know, then we sort of, you know, we contacted each other, and that's how it happened. It was something that was in the air, in a way. It was inevitable. Thank you. Yeah, ZMD. Saul and Alain very often mentioned the word fear. In this film, Saul goes to his uncle, and they are, you know, the words churches, mosques, temples pop up, and at the end of the film you can hear the muezzin's call. And my question for Alain would now be, was that a coincidence with this soundtrack in the backdrop of the muezzin, or was it also one of your topics to bring up the topic of religion? I mean, we don't know what happens after death, but we are adults. We can choose a religion, and religion can provide solace, independent of which one you choose. Yeah, well, that's it. Just how it happened. We were shooting in a neighborhood at the center of Dakar. It was at the end of the film, and it was a weekend, and of course there were lots of religious celebrations going on, and we didn't, it happened by happenstance, really. We started shooting at the moment where the muezzin started chanting, and I think that I tried to take up such coincidences when I film. And when I see it today, I feel that it, you know, it fits absolutely, and it feels right. But it just happened, you know, out of the blue, really. It wasn't premeditated in that sense. And then as far as religion is concerned, as a topic, I think the film says something that, you know, as far as time is concerned, that the present is really a door to reality. And at every moment, something magical can happen. Something that creates or suspends time at that particular moment as well. I think that nowadays we have everything, and everything happens now. And then afterwards, you know, everyone has to choose their own path according to their own priorities. And I don't, you know, and I'm not prescribing any particular religious path to choose or anything. I think when the uncle speaks, he really refers to fear. And he speaks of being constantly in a rat race in a way that makes us forget, you know, this incredible event. I.e., our own death, the risk of dying. But once you have accepted that fact, there is an entire world that opens up, an eternity that opens up. Last three questions, please, at the back of the hall. First question. Of course, we're extremely happy to be here, to be included in the competition. It is a reward for all of those who have worked in making this film. I mean, we had difficult conditions. We filmed with very scarce funds, and it really is a film that thrives on the energy and the input of all of the people who participated and were, to put it bluntly, very badly paid. So nowadays, there is a film industry, and it requires a certain, adherence to certain formalities in order to have access to funds. But in order to breathe and to decide that you can exist within this enormous machinery that is the film industry, that is also, of course, very destructive for not only for the film, but also for all kinds of art forms. And people are thus stymied, they're stifled in their creativity. And I think, people are afraid of entering films that they are, whose parameters they are unfamiliar with. But I think, James Bond is familiar, but we don't just want films about James Bond. So it is always a struggle nowadays to set yourself outside of the established norms. It's not just the codes and norms of the narrative of how you tell a story, but also the aesthetics and, how actors have to look and how they have to act and speak. And therefore, I really would like to thank the festival for welcoming us and supporting us. It's a great, great help. And it provides us a dais, really. It raises our visibility in that sense. And without this, this kind of film would not exist at all. So if you're not at a place at a given time, like this place here, you can show that film to your friends, perhaps, and that's the end of the line. So it's essential for us to be here in order to really gain an audience, and it's vital. It's not just something that we highly appreciate. It's essential for us. I'll be speaking French, but I can also speak English. Not particularly. I've read many books, and I think the source for the story is multiple. Many influences that have come to bear on this film, African literature, for instance. And as far as Latin America is concerned, I think Borges is more of an influence for me, my way of thinking, but I believe that this could have come up really from just about everywhere. I think it doesn't really belong to a particular trend, but I think it draws on many different aspects. There are multiple influences that are reflected in the film. And I'm very curious as to find out how this film will be, will be received throughout the world and in Latin America as well. I think, the focus of this film, the aesthetics of this film, I'm really looking forward to finding out how people, react to it. I'm not quite sure whether I've actually answered your question. Last question, please, now. Well, we used the facts, reality really decided on how we proceeded. I used Canon 5D for the documentary scenes, and the rest was shot with a small digital film. Actually, if it was more like a photo camera, really, I would have also shot in 35 millimeters, or even with a more performing, more professional digital camera, but we didn't have the means. But it was also a way to use, to shoot nowadays. These small digital cameras allow you a lot of freedom of movement in the streets as well. And it was a great pleasure to just, go ahead and use these cameras, and thanks to these cameras, be able to shoot very tight scenes and have the whole team moving actually throughout the street at moments where actually it hadn't been foreseen, but it just evolved in that way. So we had a great flexibility thanks to the equipment that we had. We didn't make a conscious choice that it would be like that, but the financial situation really imposed it on us, and we tried to make the best of it. We didn't try to fight against circumstances, but we tried to actively use them proactively and use the opportunities offered by this particular equipment. And the same holds true for the actors. They really had an enormous input, and the film is really concentrated on them. So, one very last question here. Yeah, what I was really interested in when working with Saul is somebody who's not particularly familiar with the language, be it French or Wolof, that is also spoken in the film, is to have a different way of looking and listening to things. If you come to a place and you don't really speak the language, you have a more intense way of listening. And there are certain things in the film that aren't said but not even translated. And amongst the things, you saw the lady amongst the demonstrators. This is one of the most touching characters in the film, but you just don't know what she's saying. There's something like a music, a melody, that comes across and that really grips us in a way and takes hold of us. And I think his willingness, Saul's attention, his way of being attuned to the detail, all of that could have also been put into words, but it didn't need to be put to words. I think somebody in his situation becomes a stranger. A stranger to even the most closest and dearest people. So I think that the, you know, his situation was such that he was immediately able to relate to that situation without any further ado, without any creating any further segues. And, you know, outside of the family circle and the setting, there are extremely emotional moments that simply couldn't be conveyed by words, by means of words. So thank you for your questions, and thank you for this wonderful film.
RadioCinema.it